I'm Griffin Marie, and welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. So with Decision 2020 looming less than 10 days away, we wanted to check in with how investors are preparing themselves for the results, policy ramifications, and volatility of the election in the final days of this grueling and lengthy campaign. Now joining me to discuss these topics and more is Jason Drejo, Head of Asset Allocation Americas for the UBS Chief Investment Office. So Jason, appreciate you joining today and welcome back to Top of the Morning.
Thank you, Griff. It's good to be here today on a gloomy Monday morning in New York.
Absolutely. And so, Jason, to kick things off here, what is the current investor view and positioning for the election outcome? And relatedly, what do you think markets are pricing in as the outcome at this moment?
It is interesting to see what's happened over the past week. The polling data would still suggest that a blue wave outcome of Vice President Biden winning the presidential election and the Democrats getting the Senate and retaining the House is still the most likely outcome. But that probability has declined a little bit over the past week or so, from around 60 or in the low 60s to probably like in the mid to low 50s. So there's been a bit of a kind of dialing back there. But I think if you look at sort of how the market's trading and how investors are positioned, it still suggests that it's not a blue wave outcome exactly, but at least sort of the consequences of a blue wave outcome in terms of more fiscal spending, looking for sort of a real kind of economic and and market rotation. We've seen in the equity markets over the past week, really over the past month, things that are would presumably benefit in a blue wave scenario of more fiscal spending, such as small cap stocks, things that are a lot more economically sensitive. We've seen a trend to higher interest rates, commodity prices have done well. So that would all suggest the price action is consistent with a blue wave fiscal spending outcome. The probability hasn't. So I think the markets are pricing for still that outcome, but I think what the price looking through now is the exact outcome. I think, no matter what, we're going to get probably more fiscal spending. We're going to get at some point some, a medical solution, and the economic recovery for 2021 is going to, take hold. And that's what the market is trying to kind of, price for, almost looking to a little bit of the election outcome, because we're now kind of have a pretty good idea of what's likely to materialize over the next couple of weeks.
Jason, to expand upon that, what sectors of the economy stand to gain from respective policy positions between the two candidates? And what is your asset allocation advice for investors at this time?
So there are really three scenarios that are the most plausible. The first is the blue wave, as we just discussed, which is probably at least about a 50% chance. Next would be, Biden winning, but Republicans keeping the Senate. So there's a divided Congress and basically kind of divided government. And the third is kind of status quo, where President Trump gets reelected and Congress stays as it is. In the kind of blue wave scenario, the likely outcome is that there'll at least be a focus on fiscal spending initially, and potential from higher taxes, but that's, a later 2021 or 2022 story, and also some higher regulation. So in that situation where the economy is recovering, you get a significant fiscal stimulus. Sectors like industrials, materials, utilities, from a clean energy perspective, they could all benefit because there'd be, infrastructure investment, really physical investment to kind of, that would, to promote some of those policies. So those would be beneficiaries. Whereas I think the energy sector could lag due to some green policies. There's a possibility for some financial regulation, but I think it's likely to be relatively limited in scope. I think even healthcare there's sort of regulatory uncertainty hanging over the sector. Concerns about, sort of a public option health insurance plan or drug price controls. But I think most of the latter, at least for the healthcare sector, most of these kind of risks, they're already kind of priced in, because healthcare as a sector is discounted relative to the overall market more so than it overall is. So that's in a blue wave scenario. If it's a Biden wins, but Congress stays the same, you're likely to see, maybe almost a moderately negative reaction, at least initially, only because the that means a probably smaller fiscal package if you have a Senate that's controlled by the Republicans versus the Democrats. You still probably get a similar benefit in terms of the sectors that would do well, such as industrials and materials, also benefiting from some maybe less trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Some of the other regulatory constraints could still be applicable, because regulation is at greater discretion of the president through who appoints in different positions through executive orders. So energy, again, financials could have a bit of headwind there. Whereas financials, I think at least healthcare would remove the kind of single payer or public option probability, and so they could benefit in that case. In the status quo situation, there might be just a relief in terms of lower taxes, but you're also likely to see less policy changes and less fiscal stimulus. So that would be like less welcome by the markets. But then you also have higher trade tensions potentially with China as a good problem, which would be sort of net negative for industrials and materials. Whereas the other companies like energy, financials, healthcare that feared some regulation, maybe there'd be a bit of a relief rally if that's less likely. So it depends on the outcome. There's going to be some sectors that could do well under a blue wave or Biden presidency, but they probably wouldn't do as well under the status quo, and vice versa for those sectors who would be more at disadvantage under a blue wave or Biden than they would be under the status quo.
Jason, one of the more uncertain issues surrounding the election is that we might not know who the exact winner is in the days or weeks following the election. In the event that is the case, how do you anticipate markets will react and how investors should prepare themselves for any volatility related to it?
Well, markets don't like uncertainty. Investors don't like uncertainty. So if the outcome looks like it's going to be delayed, contested, and it could take a while for the uncertainty to be resolved, that's going to be sort of a negative for equities, for other risk assets, and you'd get some sort of flight to safety just because you want to see how this sort of plays out. So the greater the uncertainty, the more the potential for dispute, the bigger the negative impact could be for the markets. But ultimately, I think that the impact is going to be relatively modest and relatively short-lived. One way or another, by the Constitution, January 20th, the president has to be seated, and that could be, again, President Trump stay in power, or there'll be President Biden. So there's limits to how long that uncertainty can linger, and likely we're talking maybe a few days, maybe a couple of weeks, not 2 full months. The other factor, and this ties into what investors should do, is that any increase in volatility is likely to be temporary. There's going to be some resolution. If the market pulls back, we think of this as perhaps an opportunity for investors to take advantage of the volatility by maybe adding exposure to areas that after underweight risk assets and equities in particular. They can add exposure to sectors that have kind of lagged and we think could benefit in the recovery, and certainly those sectors, as I just alluded to, that depending on the outcome, might fare better than others. So it would be a situation where I think the pullback would be relatively modest, and I think would likely be viewed as a chance to kind of buy the dips. Because ultimately, as we move further into November and into December, I think other factors such as additional fiscal stimulus, regardless of the outcome, vaccine results, that's going to happen one way or another, and those are going to be positive or should be positive for the markets.
Jason, I know we spend a lot of time talking about further fiscal support from Congress, but over the weekend, Nancy Pelosi said she expected a counteroffer from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin sometime today. What's your expectations for that proposal's prospect of legislative success?
Well, I think before the election, it's very unlikely, because if she doesn't expect a response until today, just to be able to actually draft formal legal legislation, to have it voted on the House, to have it voted on the Senate, that would take at least just as a process until later this week. And given that we're then only days away from the election, it's very unlikely you get Congress, come back to Washington to vote on this. So I think for all intents and purposes, the chances of before the election are very, very low at this point. Then the question becomes, can it be passed, whatever they're working on now, in a, in the lame duck session after the election? And I think that's possible. It does depend on what is the outcome. If it's a status quo, I think then chances are you'd see them move forward during that session. If it is a divided government where the Republicans keep the Senate, but Biden wins, you might see something there. Whereas if it's a blue wave, it's a chance that you could wait until after the inauguration, because then the Republicans in the Senate have no real incentive to pass something, and the Democrats might say, well, let's just wait until we gain full control to pass something even bigger than what's being discussed now. So that, to me, the issue is more of when this happens and the size as opposed to if it will happen. And it really kind of boils down to the bigger, assuming it's the Democrats got a blue sweep, the bigger the outcome and the Senate, the more seats they get, I think the more likely it's delayed, but also the bigger the package. Anything as you go, pure Democratic seats in the Senate or status quo, I think that kind of pulls forward the timing of when a package can be done, but also shrinks the magnitude. So there is a trade-off, sooner but maybe smaller versus later but larger might be the way to summarize it.
Right, Jason. And just by way of a final question here, we've spent most of this conversation discussing the developments within the Beltway, but what other factors should investors be focused on aside from the election and fiscal stimulus going forward?
So the biggest thing is what's happening with the pandemic itself and how the case counts are rising, certainly in Europe. It's accelerating quite a bit, and now you're seeing more signs of restrictive lockdowns across different parts of Europe. I think in the U.S., we've, over the past weekend, reached a record high in terms of number of new cases on a daily basis, surpassing what happened in the summer. If that continues to accelerate, then that it may not lead to further lockdown or restrictions, but certainly people could just choose to curtail some other activities, and so the reopening parts of the economy, that could slow down. So that's seeing how that plays out over the next few weeks and couple of months will be significant for the markets. But then probably even more important is the prospects for the vaccine trials, the phase 3 trials, which we should start getting results for Pfizer and Moderna in November. If those seem to be positive and we get a timeline where, at least at the earliest stages, the vaccine could be rolled out late this year for high-risk people or emergency workers, I think you'll see the markets react very positively to that. So that's really the biggest thing that should the investors should focus on, because once we get past the election, we have the result, we have a better sense of what the policy path could be going forward. So really then you're going to start to focus on more of the economic fundamentals, and those are going to hinge greatly on the pandemic and the medical solutions kind of to deal with the pandemic.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, appreciate you sharing your insights today on Top of the Morning. We'll be continuing our coverage of the U.S. election throughout the next 8 days and beyond. Again, I've been joined this morning by Jason Dreho, head of Asset Allocation Americas for the UBS Chief Investment Office. And for UBS clients listening in, there are many publications from CIO available now on UBS Online Services. Please reach out to your financial advisor to receive a copy directly. Top of the Morning, we'll be back again tomorrow. So
UBS
have a great day,
Chief
everyone.
Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.